Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces Podcast. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And this is Brian Berkowitz from New York, and thank you for listening. So Rich, tell me what you were thinking when we spoke about the lack of real estate photography podcasts out there and we decided to team up and put this together.
Sure, Brian. Yeah, I also want to welcome everybody. And I really got to impress that exactly what you said. I am a big podcast fan. And as I was just in Australia and preparing for my trip, as I always do, I look for new podcasts. And I happen to go back and to see if there was anything new in the real estate front. And there was one podcast, I forget exactly what it was called, but it was really never really like regular. And it was something that was never really, really took hold in my podcast organization. So I thought, well, it would be great, always be great to do a podcast. And it was just funny enough that you contacted me and I was actually in Australia. So thank God for technology. But Brian and I were able to go back and forth to say, hey, not only is it a good idea, but I'd certainly be interested in exploring this with you because I would love to accompany my YouTube channel and whatever I'm doing. And with my teaching and my workshops, I'd certainly like to do a podcast. And I'm really excited because there's so many directions it can go and we can have guest speakers. We can talk about topics. We can do questions and answers. You know, there's just it's a great opportunity. And I will say from experience in my YouTube channel, this is a fairly small genre of photography when you compare it to wedding photography or portrait photography. There's a zillion wedding photographers out there, but there's also a zillion wedding photography videos and podcasts and this and that. So I think this is a really good opportunity to reach, maybe it's a smaller group of photographers, but I will say I know from experience and a fact that real estate and commercial real estate interiors, as you had mentioned, it's a very passionate group of photographers, and I'm really excited because with the workshops and everything, there's so many people that want to learn and get involved, and this is a great opportunity. So I compliment you, Brian, for bringing it up, and I'm really looking forward to going somewhere with it.
Thank you. And I think you definitely hit home with what you're saying as far as there being an influx of information out there for other genres of photography, such as wedding photography and portrait, for instance, where there just isn't. And, you know, I know there's a lot of information out there on the various Facebook groups that, you know, we're both part of, and I'm sure most of our listeners are part of. But it's a little different when, you know, you have an interviewer on or an interviewee on, and, you know, you can kind of hear their story from start to finish, how they run their business, their techniques. And that gives you a sense of, you know, their entire story as opposed to, you know, reading random questions here and there and getting tidbits of answers. And I think having that source of information from a technique standpoint or from a business standpoint or from a marketing standpoint, and to hear people who are doing it successfully and what they do and how they do it, will touch a lot of people.
Yeah. And I certainly look forward to reaching out to some of the really extremely talented photographers. That's a great part about the online community, which would be the PFRE Flickr group and the Facebook groups, of which I think I admin about 8 groups now. But we have some of the best in the business in the world at our fingertips. So I'm hoping to reach out to them and bring their insight and their personalities into some of our podcasts in the future.
Sure. And besides for the interviews themselves, you know, we spoke about this briefly over the last few days. You know, we have a lot of other ideas that we can bring to the table besides the interviews just for this podcast. So, you know, before we go into all that, I mean, what are your ultimate goals for this? And what are your hopes, you know, with a podcast like this that, you know, as far as the education it can bring to the listeners?
Well, the one thing I've been gosh, I got to say, just blown away with and pleased by, and really has given me the energy to do what I do, has been the response and the positive response from people that have watched my videos, have gotten involved with groups and communities. It's the relationships, and it's the people that are there to help people. It's, Brian, we all know that some of the photography groups are less than adequate and have a lot of, let's just say, negative people and negative comments.
That's and putting it kindly.
Yeah, and at least my groups, I really try and admin and keep an eye on them. But I'll just say in general, I would love this to catch on and get a group basis and a family of people that are interested in not only the same thing, but also interested in sharing their techniques. And I know that there are so many people that are coming into this, and we all know from being experienced real estate photographers, and I'm just going to use the term because we haven't even discussed where we're going to go with we're doing real estate photography, commercial real estate photography, design photography, you know, what direction we're going, because there are so many, and I'm sure we'll touch upon many of them. But I just think that we'll just for now leave it at real estate photography. And, you know, it's a very specific thing. And you and I, as experienced real estate photographers, we really identify all the things you got to know. I mean, heck, there are a lot of rules in real estate photography where not even nearly as many rules in wedding photography. I mean, gosh, I can always tilt my camera sideways in wedding photography, but I sure can't do it in real estate. But those are just, you know, one of the techniques that we all want to, you know, we want to help people, and we want people to identify. And I always say, you don't know what you don't know. So we're going to hopefully bring a lot of topics up to people that can think about it, and then they can research it, and then they can implement all these things, these rules, and it just make us proud and produce really good work, because gosh knows there is a fair amount of bad real estate photography out there.
Sure. I think speaking of rules, I think we're, as real estate photographers, we're under even more constraints than wedding photographers, for instance, because it's not only the photography rules that you have to abide by, but it's your local rules that play a big part into it too. Whether it's MLS or this and that, I think there's, you know, the real estate photographer not only has to know the technical side, and, you know, you can call them rules. Obviously, rules are meant to be broken, especially when you're in a creative art. But, you know, you have to know what your local laws are and what you can do and what you can't do, and what the agents are allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. So it's pretty involved. And hopefully we can get to all of that and cover everything over time.
Surely there are, I mean, so many topics that I can deal with that I'm actually thinking about every day because of not only YouTube videos but my workshop topics. And one of them, I mean, gosh, there are things that, you know, how to deal with, how to talk with agents, how to deal with the MLS, how to deal with the ethics of Photoshop removing items, not removing items. And hopefully we'll not only, you know, a lot of people say that I'm kind of one-sided. It's either Rich's way or the highway, but I'm trying to work on that. And I'm certainly open to ideas from you and from other photographers. So look forward to see where that goes.
Sure. And I want to switch gears for a minute, because as we start, you know, getting subscribers and people start listening, I think it's important for them to kind of know who we are and who they're listening to. So I know a little bit of your story and your background, Rich, and I know you started out in the film, the motion picture industry for several years. So why don't you take us through a brief history of Rich Baum?
Okay, I'll try and make this brief because God knows I talk too much. And let me just get to it. I just turned 60 years old. I feel I'm a young 60, but man, I'm feeling it. Maybe one of the topics we can deal with is how us old dogs get by with crouching and carrying and moving equipment. But and I know enough old photographers, we could certainly interview a few of them. Mm-hmm. But for me, I started photography in 1968 as a child. At 11 years old, my father got me a SRT 101 Minolta, and I've been a photographer all my life. I wouldn't have called myself a professional photographer, but I eventually got an opportunity to follow in the family business. And my father's a theatrical actor stage agent. He was a producer for movies like Cabaret and They Shoot Horses, Don't They? He eventually founded the largest theatrical agency in the world, Creative Artists Agency, or CAA. And he was the producer end of the business. I got an opportunity in 1977 to go to Europe as a production assistant, a PA. And I went as a PA to Germany. And they fired me as a PA, but they needed to keep me on the movie, a movie called Hitler's Son, a real little movie, not a good movie, and you probably can't find it. But it was a movie in Germany with Bud Cort and Peter Cushing. Anyway, long story short, they said, get this kid out of the production office, put him in the prop department because we got to give him a job because of his dad. Anyway, that started my 3 years in Europe. Working in the prop department. I got back to the U.S. in 1980, and I got in the union, the Local 44, with Property Craftsmen doing props, IATSE, International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. I'm a property craftsman. I can do props, set dressing, and I ended up doing producing and production design. I was actively working on movies for almost 30 years, and I am just... was a great opportunity, and you can just do an IMDb search, Internet Movie Database search, for Rich Baum or Richard Baum, and see the movies I worked on. But I worked on movies like Gandhi, Hoosiers, Naked Gun, Beaches, a lot of movies. I did TV, I did features, I did Love Boat, I did Dynasty, I did so many shows. But I eventually got out of the business because I met my wife in Northern California, and windsurfing. I'm a big windsurfer and kiteboarder, and met my wife in Sacramento, ended up moving to Sacramento, married in 97, and ended up having kids. And I was commuting back and forth to LA from Sacramento, working on TV shows. And I just said, you know what, this isn't working for my life. I've been doing this 30 years. I'm going to try something else. And I was at that time into about, I had about 3 or 4 years of digital photography. And I then started shooting pictures and posting them on Facebook, and people starting to go, oh my God, your pictures are amazing. Which, when anybody says that, don't believe them, because they are looking back, they were crap. Anyway, it made me believe I could maybe take some good pictures. And then I wanted to start doing photography and realized I needed to shoot everything I could to make barely enough money to survive. And I started learning and shooting weddings, professional sports. I specialized in marathon and ultra races, and eventually became a Spartan photographer. I shoot Spartan races, but I shoot portraits, headshots, everything. And one thing I always like was shooting buildings, shooting. I would go on vacation and shoot hotels that I was there. I'd get up at 4 in the morning and shoot the hotel when nobody was there, and eventually started shooting real estate. And it kind of caught on, and it's the one genre I can shoot during the week. I am phasing out weddings after 10 years, 12 years, and just loving interiors, loving this business, and going in that direction. So I think that's my history, and I've always been into art, and I'm going to leave it at that. But I've been really fortunate to have a great career in the film industry, and now I'm just having a great career in the photography career. And now as I turn 60, I'm going to start going towards education, workshops, YouTube videos, and things like that.
Podcasts.
And now podcasts. Yeah, there you go. So I'm done. I spoke too much.
Cool. And I,
and Brian, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, I don't have as much of a history as you. I'm a little bit younger than you. But nevertheless, I actually started photography also as a kid. My father is a professional wedding photographer. Right now based outside of Philadelphia. I'm out of New York, but I grew up here in New York. So I started assisting him on weddings when I was also about 10 or 11 years old, holding lights and loading Hasselblad backs. So you kind of really have to learn to be on your game when you're loading film backs at a wedding. But I was doing that throughout my teenage years. And eventually, when it was time to go to college, I went to School of Visual Arts here in New York, and split a degree in photography and film. I wasn't quite sure exactly what I wanted to do, if I wanted to go into the film industry and or photography. And, you know, looking back about 15 or 16 years later, since I graduated college, I ended up doing both. Right after college, I started a video production company with an old friend of mine, and we were doing commercial videos as well as weddings. Because weddings were an easy segue for me to get into the video business, as I still had tons of old contacts from my years assisting. And we got into the wedding business very quickly and went off with a bang. I think in our first year of our wedding business, we did about 80 weddings. It was pretty insane. As time went on, you know, I decided that the hustle and bustle of the wedding industry wasn't for me. It was, as I don't have to tell you, because you said the same thing. You're kind of, you know,
I'm only down to 12 weddings a year now. So
yeah, that's about, yeah, that's about what I did last year. I think
from
last year,
35. From
yeah, 30. Last year I did about 10 or 11. And as I said, about 7-8 years ago, I did, I think, 60 or 70 weddings. So I'm definitely, you know, going down and down, and hopefully this year, 2018, will be my last year of doing weddings. But, you know,
cheers.
We'll see how that goes. You know, there is good money to be made doing weddings, as, you know, every wedding photographer out there knows, and as most real estate photographers, because I get the sense that a lot of real estate photographers started with a wedding background, or a lot of photographers in general, because that's an easy way to get into the photography occupation, if you want to call it that. And then kind of people find their own and figure out what they want to do, which was kind of what happened to me. You know, after I had the video production business, I started picking up the camera again and getting back into photography. And I started off with weddings because I was already doing them from the video standpoint. So it was an easy segue. And then I went into, you know, doing some product photography, kind of, you know, trying little odds and ends here and there, kind of see what I really enjoyed. I was doing headshots, I was doing a little product, dabbling a little bit, not shooting merely enough in any of those categories to call myself a very, very experienced pro, but was kind of learning on my own. And I would say it's probably about 5 or 6 years now. I started getting into HDR by accident. I stumbled across some of Trey Ratcliffe's stuff and saw it, and I was like, wow, and got into HDR and started reading some of his courses and just started playing around and doing all that stuff on my own stuff just to play it out, going out and shooting landscapes and processing them in Photomatics and processing the hell out of them till they looked disgusting and cartoony and fake. And, you know, as I'm sure a lot of other people in my boat did as well. Then I got a call from a fellow wedding photographer who knew that I was dabbling in HDR. And he said to me, one of his wedding clients, who's an interior designer, called him to shoot a property or a house that they just finished designing. And he called me because he didn't know anything from that. And he knew I dabbled in HDR. And he said, hey, do you want to come out and shoot this house in HDR? I like the look that you've been doing with it, you know, and he subcontracted me out. And that kind of, that was my first, I guess you can call it, interior job. And that's when, I guess the light bulb went off, if you want to call it that. It's funny because I look back at those images now and they are completely HDR'd, if you want to call it that, just overprocessed and everything, but they loved them. And from there, I started looking into interior photography, reading, doing research, learning as much as I can. As everyone knows, there's just tons and tons and tons of information out there for anything you need, let alone real estate photography or interior photography. And, you know, here, Rich, we're hoping to provide some more of that. And then from there, it just took off. I started calling real estate agents that I knew just from the neighborhood or people I went to high school with, or anyone that I bumped into. I knew a couple of real estate agents and, you know, let them know, and, you know, shot a lot for free at the beginning, as I'm sure you know, and we'll talk about, I guess, marketing later on, but shot a lot for free just to kind of learn and get my work out there and kind of learn the ropes and try to work on my technique and see what worked for which clients, because I have a lot of different techniques for different clients depending on the job and what they're looking for. And then it kind of just snowballed from there. And about 3 years ago is when I started doing real estate photography full time. You know, I still do, like I said, about 10 or 12 weddings a year now. Hopefully this will be my last year. And I dabble here and there. If, you know, an old client will call me for headshots, sometimes I'll do it for them here and there. But my bread and butter now is real estate photography and, you know, architecture and interiors. And I'm actually slowly transitioning now into interiors and architecture. I've been doing, you know, strictly real estate for the last 3-4 years. And now I'm trying to shift my business model and focus into doing more architectural stuff, just for the, you know, the challenge that is there. And obviously the money to be made by doing that type of work is a little bit more than the real estate work.
That sounds great, man. Awesome. Well, listen, I'd certainly like to jump in for this first podcast, jump into a couple of questions. So if it's okay, let me ask you a question.
By all means.
How many shoots are you doing? This is a big topic with people, especially people that are getting into this game. And I do call it a game, and I'll call it a game a lot. But how many shoots do you do, or have you been generally doing? I mean, you can say a day or a week or a month. What's your schedule like?
Yeah, so this time of year, it's the first week of January in New York. It's about 15 degrees.
What's the temperature?
It's about 15 degrees outside. We're in one of the craziest cold spells we've had in a while. And we had a blizzard about 4 days ago with, I think it was 10 or 11 inches of snow here. So I'm not doing anything right now as far as shooting. No agent, as I'm sure you know, wants to shoot a house with, you know, 11 inches of snow on the ground. So out here in my area, we have shoots here and there, but I would say from early December to probably about mid-February, end of February, it's pretty slow. We get, you know, a couple shoots here and there. You know, I shoot drone stuff also. I'm a licensed drone operator. So I do a couple of drone stuff here and there, but, you know, when there's a blizzard like we had here, that kind of knocks you out for literally a week or two till everything melts.
Yeah,
so we're just kind of sitting there doing nothing. You know,
but when you're in the peak season,
in the peak,
how many can you do? How long does it take? Really quickly, how long does it take to shoot? And what can you say about that?
In my peak, in the middle of the summer, which is the peak probably for me here, I'm probably doing roughly anywhere from 15 to 20 a week, depending on what services they're looking for. So, you know, I do some video also. As I mentioned, I have a video production background. So I'm trying to sell to my agents or my clients photo, drone video, and full packages, because there's a lot more to be made. And if I can sell one or two of those in a day, I'd rather do one of those in a day than shoot, you know, four just photo houses, obviously. So it really depends, but anywhere from 15 to 20, depending on, you know, what services clients are offering. And, you know, where I am in Long Island, it's a very, very strange area because, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with Long Island, but
I was born in Glen Cove, Long Island.
Oh,
but
so
I was 3 years old when I moved.
Oh, okay, so you know well. So I actually am out there a lot in the summertime, Glen Cove and the North Shore of Long Island over there in that area. But I live pretty west on Long Island. I'm about 12 or 13 miles from Manhattan. But Long Island is pretty long. So if you go all the way out east to the Hamptons and those areas, right now there's no one out there. But come, you know, May, June time, everybody from the city heads out to the Hamptons and they're out there all year long. So probably from May till about September, October, I'm driving about two and a half hours to the Hamptons once or twice a week to get full days of shooting in there. I'll, you know, line up four or five houses back to back to back and take the drive and just shoot out there all day.
Well, we're maybe a little bit in common there because I have a reputation of taking shoots that are a little further away from my territory that than the other photographers will do. And I'm by no means putting the other photographers down, but I'm able to kind of absorb, you know, we don't have to talk about it today, but it'd be nice to talk about how we charge for, you know, where we're going, what we're doing, you know, that extra mileage and stuff. So one way you said, and I think it's a very valuable tip for people, is try and coordinate shoots. When I go to San Francisco from Sacramento, if I got to go for any reason, season, I will certainly try and line up a shoot or two, and I'm usually pretty successful if I get a week or so notice. So that's a great tip, try and line up shoots.
Exactly. That's what I'll do. If I have a call from an agent that wants me to shoot out in the Hamptons, for instance, which is about 2 hours away from me, before I book them, I'll reach out to a couple other agents out there, let them know I'm going to be out there that day, and say, let me know if you have anything. I'd like to put you in the schedule while I'm out there. And before I book that original call, once I get at least, you know, three confirmations that they have work for me, then I'll call them all back and book all three, because I wouldn't go out there for anything under three shoots out there, because it's a bit of a trip. It ends up being, you know, it could be a 10 to 12 hour day between travel and shooting and, you know, taking a little break here for lunch and all that. And it's a tiring day as well, as I'm sure you know from doing your travel shoots as well. It's not easy.
Wait till you get my age, kid. No. Yeah. And let me ask you, so what, you know, we're going to eventually be wrapping this first podcast down, because I think we want to keep it about 30 minutes.
30, yeah, give or take. Minutes, yeah. I think we're a couple of minutes away from that. So
let me ask you first, and then you can ask me. What's going on lately? So you got this podcast idea. When did you start thinking about this podcast seriously?
It was probably about a month and a half ago or 2 months ago. As I mentioned, I'm in the car a lot, as I'm sure every real estate photographer is, and especially in the summertime when I'm traveling, you know, 2 hours, at least 2 hours each way, once a week at least to shoot. And I'm just listening to podcasts all day, whether it's photography podcasts, business podcasts, other podcasts for some other businesses I'm involved with. Whatever the case is, I spend my 2 hours listening to podcasts, or 4 hours altogether a day. And about 2 months ago, I said, there has to be something out there. I know there's a couple of photography podcasts out there about, you know, professional photography and all that, but there's nothing geared, you know, strictly towards our industry. And, you know, obviously, as you said before, it's a much smaller demographic of people, which is maybe why no one has done it before. But I think it's a demographic of people that are interested and willing to learn, like to be educated, and want to hear people who are successful in this industry talk about it. So I had the idea to potentially do something, and I never really seriously thought about it, because things got a little hectic around the holiday time. I had a baby 3 weeks ago. So,
congratulations.
My wife had a baby, I should say.
No, you had it too. It's okay.
So things got a little hectic. I kind of put it on hold, you know, for a couple of weeks, and I kind of revisited it right after the new year, once things settled down a little bit. And I was, you know, I thought to myself, hey, you know what, let me go out and let me record a first one as a test, as a sample, see how it goes. And if it's something that works, maybe I'll kind of, you know, look into this and maybe do this. So I reached out to you about being a potential interviewee for my first podcast. And as we started talking and got to it, you know, you were mentioning that, you know, you were thinking about this for a long time as well. And, you know, we said, hey, why don't we try doing this together and co-host and see how it goes? And here we are today talking.
Less than a week from inception.
I think I reached out to you late last week, and, you know, we started talking about ideas, and you said to me, let's not talk yet. Let's just go and record. Let's just get to it. Are you available tomorrow? Yeah. I'm getting, you know, today's Tuesday. You said, I'm getting back from Australia on Sunday. Let's touch base Monday. We spoke yesterday, and you're like, let's record tomorrow.
It's going better than I thought.
Yeah, you actually asked me yesterday when we were talking about it. You said, are you available tonight to record? And it turned out I wasn't, but I said, let's do it tomorrow. So, you know, literally a day after our first verbal phone call, we're here talking and getting to it. And I, you know, there's a lot of information out there. So I think,
and God knows I have a lot of information, and I get the impression you do too. So,
yes. And, there, you know, we started coming up with lists of different things to discuss, whether it's, you know, the Facebook groups and, you know, just workflow and technique and equipment and business and marketing. There's just so much out there. You know, even if it's topics that we're going to talk about ourselves, or bring on different guests to, you know, get interviewed, and we can talk about all those topics as well with interviewees. So there's so much out there, and, you know, we hope to share it with everyone.
Yeah. And if I can interject, I'm just, as you had mentioned, I just got back from Australia for 2 weeks, had a blast. And, you know, traveling is a big passion of mine. I go on at least one big trip a year. I've gone to 6 continents in the last 4 years.
Wow.
So I have one more continent, but I don't know when I'm going to get down to Antarctica. So yeah, we'll see.
What? I'm happy to say I have been to the same 6 continents as well, but not in the last 4 years. But over the course of my life, Antarctica is the one that I have not been to yet. So
awesome.
Maybe one day we'll take a trip down there together.
Mm. And I'm stoked about the podcast. I think I'm really looking forward to this. So the more again, for everybody, this is completely off the cuff, non-rehearsed. And I've got to say, I think it's going, I don't even know him. I mean, Brian who? No, but I'm on his website actually. And I see some really nice images. You know, we can have so many directions this podcast can go, and we can do photo critiquing. We can have interviews. We can do questions and answers. As Brian had mentioned yesterday, as you had mentioned, that we can have people call in and leave voice recordings of their questions. So I think that's really fun. And we certainly can take people's suggestions on things that, you know, topics and things and whatever. It's a work in progress. But
sure. Yeah. So I think if people are listening to this, that means we decided to release it as our episode 1. So I'm going to ask everyone to subscribe and follow us. You'll know when new podcasts are released, hopefully at least once a week, hopefully more. And that's it. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you or how they can follow you personally?
Absolutely. And I want to just give my plug for my workshop series. It's called the Rich Bomb Photography Trip Tips and Tricks Workshop Tour for 2018. And the tour is starting off in Auburn, California. These are 2-day workshops, very hands-on workshops, and you can find information on that if you I can be reached at rich@richbomb.com, and you can find me on my YouTube channel, which is Tips and Tricks for Real Estate Photography. A lot of people know about that, but the workshops are starting in February. I have a 2-day workshop that's just about sold out. It's going to be 10 people max, and it's really exciting. It's going to be full of everything you need to learn, everything you need to know to get going in this business. And it's really, it's geared towards the active day-to-day real estate photographer, people that have already used lighting or want to get into the use of lighting. As we discussed, there's HDR, which both of us, I think, identified and have chosen to move beyond the HDR and incorporate lights into our photography. So that's what I'm dealing with. And the workshop's going to take you there. And again, it's not for luxury real estate. It's not for advanced, super high-end, commercial photography, whatever. It's really to get you down to the basics. Everything I teach on my YouTube channel is going to be worked on in the workshop. So I'm really excited to help people really getting into this and getting faster and learning all the tricks. I am going to be very busy out here in California, and although it's raining today and the next day or so, we're shooting full bore almost all year. It's a little slow in December and January, but we keep pretty busy, and we're lucky out here in California. I know it's been really butt cold where you are, and yeah. I know it affects people. And that's another thing. I think it's going to be great, this podcast, because you're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, so we have two different sides of it. And God knows, I don't know, have a clue to what it's like trying to deal with Manhattan or New York City working for real estate photography, and I hear Snickers in the background. But for me in California, it's quite different, and I look forward to discussing that. So you can find me at all the usual places, and even if you just Google Rich Bomb, BAUM, you can find me easily and contact me at rich@richbomb.com, Sacramento, California.
And your website or your web URL, if kids people want to see some of your work?
Richbomb.com. And if you Google me again, you can find my WordPress blog and you can find information out there. Let's just say I don't make it hard to find info on me. So just Google Rich Bomb and you'll find anything you need to know.
All right, great. And if anybody wants to see some of my work, it's brianberkowitzphoto.com, BRIANBERKOWITZ, photo.com, where you can take a look at my stuff on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Brian Berko, BERKO, BRIANBERKO, and that's how you can find me. So,
by the way, Brian, how many websites, this is a great topic in the future, but how many websites do you have? Do you have a specific website for each of your genres, like a wedding website and whatever else you're doing?
Yeah, I have two websites, one geared for real estate photography and one geared towards more high-end architectural and interior photography. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely a good topic for discussion in the future. And I did that strategically, and we can maybe get into that as one topic for one podcast.
Absolutely. Great.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. We're going to start here internally working on an episode 2 and hopefully come back to you soon. So again, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you can be notified when we release a new one, and we'll see you all soon.
Yeah. Have a great week. And as I always say, shoot smarter, shoot better, get better, shoot higher end listings, make more money so you can spend more time with your family. And that's what this is all about. Let's get good at what we do.
Sounds good. Take care.
Okay. Bye, guys.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.